going to wrap around the NFC now. We'll end with the NFC North, as always, because there's going to be more to talk about there. NFC East. Everyone predicted this coming in. No. The Washington Redskins are winning with 6-3 right now. Dallas 4-5. Philadelphia 4-5. And New York Giants 1-7. Just like everyone thought this was going to break down. Right?
No. No.
No?
No.
Well, Adrian Peterson's on the Washington Redskins. Of course they're going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose there is that.
Yeah, so the 6-3 Washington, they got Alex Smith. He's doing some good things. And I put this out there a couple weeks ago. It is possible that trading for Alex Smith was the best move for Washington Redskins. And us, as Minnesota, taking Kirk Cousins was the best option for us.
Yeah.
It's possible both was it, because obviously they weren't enthralled with Kirk Cousins.
No.
And obviously Alex Smith has been doing good things there because they're 6-3.
Yeah, they got a game manager. He's got 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Adrian Peterson is, I don't know what year he thinks it is, but he's got almost 700 on the ground. It looks like he might have a 1,000-yard season.
You
never know with Adrian.
Yeah, so you got AP going for 1,000. You got Alex Smith game managing, and somehow Washington is 6-3. So them, along with Jacksonville being 3-6, are my two biggest surprises, and it's not even close for me. So
yeah, I mean, I was right there with you, because you go with Washington, they get Alex Smith in there. First-year quarterbacks in the system, that's always interesting. They had so much troubles with running backs, and then they signed Adrian Peterson, which, you know, we all thought after the last couple of years he didn't really have much left in the tank. He's kind of proven that wrong. That defense has kind of been up and down, but they've been playing pretty well the last couple of weeks, so yeah, I'm right there with that. That's a huge surprise to me. I would have thought that they would have been competing with the Giants for the lowest spot in this division.
Yeah. You know, they're at 6-3. I don't know if I'd say they're in the driver's seat, but maybe they are. You follow that
up
with...
You got two games up in your division opponents.
4-5 Dallas, 4-5 Philadelphia, 1-7 Giants. Early on, Giants got into a couple games where they had a chance to win. They lost on a 63-yard field goal as time expired to Carolina, a team that is 6-3 this year. So the Giants kind of early on could have won a couple games, I think, that really would have turned their season. If they're sitting there at 4-5 right now, you know, this is a different dynamic, especially in that division. They didn't. Now it's just, I mean, they're almost like Oakland, I think. Granted, I did pick them to win tonight. So, again,
at this point, it's like you're bleeding. You really can't stem that bleeding quick enough to make it matter.
Yeah,
Eli. If you're at 1-7, man, Eli's you have killing. To win out to make it competitive.
They got Beckham. Saquon looks like the real deal. It's just, I think that they need to get a quarterback in there, and they know that, I think. anyway, 6-3 in the East. I think it certainly looks like Washington is in the driver's seat if they can just win a game or two inside this division.
Yep.
I don't know. Apparently, we're going to see them in the playoffs. I think I would like that as a Vikings fan, but
I wouldn't be opposed to that. That'd be a fine game for me to go play.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson wants to knock us out of the playoffs because, of course, he does. I don't know why he's so mad at us. We paid him extra money when we didn't have to. So
the nice thing is, if we get AP in the playoffs, we know he's going to fumble at least once or twice. So
3 times.
Yeah.
Twice on the goal line. You know, it's no big deal. Yeah, Super Bowl swamp a little bit with Philadelphia, it looks like. I think they've taken a couple injuries, but, I mean, nothing really big of note. They've stayed relatively healthy. They can't seem to put together a complete game.
Yeah, they're, you know, the defense, not quite what it was last year. They lose Jay Ajayi for the year, but they've got weapons there, receiver-wise. Wentz is back. It just hasn't worked. Dallas, a team that a lot of people thought was dead, just beat them last night.
Yep.
And a game that a lot of people, including myself, thought Philly was going to cover. I think they had like a 7.5-point spread on that, and I think a lot of people picked them to cover that because Dallas seemed like they're dead in the water. Now Dallas shows a little bit of signs of life. They get Amari Cooper. You've got youth and Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott. Now they look like a team that doesn't want to die. And as we'll get to, There's a possibility of them going to run, you know, especially in that division. So East is a little bit different than what we would have pegged. Only thing for me was I thought the Giants would be a little bit more competitive. And I don't even feel that bad about it because, again, they had a chance in some of those games, and now I think they're just in full, we're on to next year mode. And
if you look at the record, the 1-7 is kind of deceiving. I mean, it is what it is, but it was the same thing with the Vikings in 15. You looked at an 11-5 record, but then you look at a couple of the games we lost, and really, you should have had a chance at a 13-3. Really, the Giants should be looking at a 3-5 right now, right? So, not quite as bad as a 1-7. They're probably the best 1-7 team you'll see.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that, and I don't know. We've talked way too much about the East already. We have. So.
NFC South. This one is getting kind of interesting here. New Orleans 8-1. Obviously, they beat us a couple weeks back, which just blew out
Cincinnati this week. 51 spot, I believe they put up.
Just crazy. They're doing some things. Carolina 6-3, Atlanta 4-5, Tampa Bay 3-6. So right now Tampa Bay's on life support.
They're going back and forth between Fitzpatrick and Winston, and now it sounds like they're going Fitzpatrick.
They're still fighting. I don't see them being able to dig out of that hole.
I think they're dead. I just don't. I think that they need to figure out again how do we. There's still some talent there. What are we going to do with it? How do we get ready for the future?
Kind of similar spot as we said, Denver's kind of in just...
Yeah.
You have some talent, but you kind of need to rebuild a little bit what you have. Atlanta, 4-5. They've been decimated on defense and injuries. Julio Jones is starting to turn it on, though, so that's kind of good to see.
But they just lost at Cleveland, you know? A game... That's a game, to me, just like Philadelphia, that... Cleveland is... They were 3-5-1. Granted, they were... They were 2-6-1. A team that was better than that record.
Yep.
You know, but Atlanta at 4-4 going there, knowing, hey, we can get back in this thing. Carolina's decimated with injuries, and if we can just win this football game, we're right in it with the wild card.
Yep.
And then you go in and you get they got stopped a little bit by Baker, and he was feeling dangerous. But I think certainly Atlanta is a surprise. I would put them up. Maybe my third surprise this year would be Atlanta being 4-5. And I know they've been decimated with injuries, but at what point do you start to try to, I don't know, rethink where you're going down there and how...
Right, because Matt Ryan ain't getting any younger.
No, and I mean, they should have won a Super Bowl, and then last year, they're very close. They're one Julio catch, stay in bounds from beating Philadelphia, something Vikings fans obviously wish would have happened.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't know. They draft Calvin Ridley, someone that's been good for them this year, especially paired with Jones. That offense has been somewhat high-powered, but... You know, I don't know. I'm not really sure what I would think of as an Atlanta fan. I wish we had an Atlanta fan we could, you know, bring on here. And just, I really would be curious where their mindset is at. What is the state of a Falcon fan right now? Are you blaming it all on injuries and you're looking to next year? Or do you think that this needs some other pieces to be competitive?
I can honestly see factions of both. I can see factions where they blame it on, well, you know, if we didn't have all these injuries on defense, we'd be more competitive in these games. Some of these games we would have won. Maybe we'd be looking at a 6-3 right now instead of this 4-5, and we'd be right there tied with Carolina for this wild card. Then I can also see guys where they're like, okay, Matt Ryan isn't getting any younger. Obviously, we have injury concerns on defense, and we need to get a couple more pieces to kind of put this back together to bolster this, because we haven't had a successful season in quite a while. I mean, you gave away the Super Bowl that they were leading by massive amounts, and it was like
28-3, right?
How do you give that game away? I have no idea. And then last year they fall flat on their face. So yeah, I don't know.
Let me give you some numbers here, and I think you'll be shocked, absolutely shocked, that a team with a quarterback at the helm and a high-powered offense with these numbers is 4-5. So Matt Ryan, 71.1 completion percentage, 3,015 yards.
That's high.
21 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Jeez. And they're 4-5.
That's incredible numbers from a quarterback. Incredible.
And you're 4-5.
Yeah, that to me says that there's some other systematic things that are going wrong. So I'm looking for a couple other fairly significant changes to that roster or to something.
Something.
Because something's broken there. If that's what you're getting out of your quarterback and you're still losing by that much, there's something else going on there.
And they've been in, you know, they had a 6-point loss. They opened the season against the Eagles on Thursday. Thursday Night Football, they were at the Eagles. They had a 6-point loss there. They lost to the Saints in overtime this year. They've lost to the Bengals, though. A team now, granted, they lost by one to the Bengals. They lost at the Steelers. They got crushed there. Since then, they had rattled off three in a row going to Cleveland. And it's like, okay, they're back. Matty's rolling. Matty Ice is rolling. They're going to go on a little bit of a run. Then you go into Cleveland and you lose 28-16, a game that I believe Cleveland was up 28-10 in. So 28-16 would be indicative of a closer game than it was, actually. So,
right.
I don't know, frustrating year. Again, they lost some key pieces in the secondary, which obviously is hurting them. They must be hurting on the defensive side of the ball this year with Matt Ryan posting those numbers. But Atlanta, a little bit of a surprise.
A little bit. But, again, they're hosting the Super Bowl, so, you know, Super Bowl curse.
Also, Ryan Fitzpatrick, possible destination, Jacksonville.
Interesting.
Doesn't have to move that far.
I don't hate it. Yeah. I don't hate it. Yeah, you can do
bring
that.
Bring the Fitzmagic to Jacksonville,
baby. You
can
do that in the afternoon, man.
Yeah.
Pack up the U-Haul, get over there, get unpacked in a day. Yeah.
Carolina,
we talked about this.
We don't know how they're 6-3 with all the injuries.
We don't know how they're 6-3, but, I mean, is this the start of the other shoe dropping at this point, where maybe some of the magic is gone?
You know, they got... Obviously, what's bringing you to that statement is they just got absolutely massacred by Pittsburgh.
Yep.
51 to... Did they get to 20s, maybe?
51 to something.
Yeah, it might have been 14 or 21, something along those
lines. I
think
it was 51-14.
So, let's start with the positives. Christian McCaffrey, on Rio, looks like the absolute real deal. He's dynamic. He's everywhere. Cam Newton. Cam is Cam. Cam's having a great year. Pulling it up right now, he's got 17 touchdowns, 5 picks. But... He's also a threat on the ground. Yep. You've got McCaffrey. He's got 579 on the ground. He's got another 440 through the air. You know, that's been fun. They're doing it without a lot of really talented receivers there either. So that offense has been clicking. Greg Olsen has just come back. He missed, I think, the first maybe 6-ish weeks. I think he got hurt really early week one. He's back now. That offense has been doing things. But they've just been decimated with injuries. You know, I've got their injury thing here, and it's got to be 12, 15 players long. And a lot of these guys are on the IR. So do I think the other shoe is going to drop? A little bit. But at this point, when I look at the NFC, they're 6-3 right now. They've got games... At the Lions, are dead. They're almost like a Raiders team to me right now. So that's a win. That's going to get them to 7. Seahawks at home, possibly a win, you know. Bucks, Browns, and then they get the Saints, 2 out of their last 3. That's the real kicker. But you also have a Saints team that's 8-1.
But
it possibly might not be playing for anything. I don't know. I see at least 3 or 4 wins here, which I think is going to be good enough for them to get into the playoffs.
Sure. Well, also, I'll note with all divisional games, like I believe, all bets are off on those. So
yeah. No.
Those two games against New Orleans, like you said, I mean, yeah, they're tough games, but I could easily see that splitting.
I'll put it this way. I think if they can go into Detroit and rebound, and they just got embarrassed on national TV, but now they've got the long week, you know, they've got the 10 days to go to Detroit, a Lions team that certainly, as we know, looks like they're just laying down at this point for anyone. They trade away their best receiver. I don't know. It just doesn't look that good for them. If they can go in and get that win and go to 7-3, I think at that point I've got them, yeah, maybe they're not going to win the South, but they're going to make the playoffs, and I don't want to see Cam Newton in the playoffs. I don't.
I think we've seen that experiment before. It didn't work out well. Not in the playoffs, but we've seen Cam Newton before.
Right.
It didn't work out well. So, yeah, I'm with you there. Right now, they're definitely a front runner for that second playoff spot.
And I think you got to be looking. You got to be positively thinking for next year if you're Carolina.
Yep, absolutely.
Because you've got a lot of injuries. You got Matt Khalil. Do you want a little brief minute on Khalil, or is that
Matt Khalil? I'll tell you what, that Matt Khalil contract. So for one, he's been on IR I think since like week two or week one or two.
I thought he just.
Oh, he was just taken off.
Yeah.
Just taken off. So the replacement there has been doing well. So I don't even know if they'll start him.
Sounds like they're not going to.
I don't think they want to break up that chemistry right now. But here's what's left on Khalil's contract. Okay. Next year. He has $14.7 million dead, and he counts $12.15 million against the cap. That means they're under his cap hit right now. So they would lose cap space if they cut him next year. Lose.
Do you think that they're in a? Do you think they're at that point? I mean, where?
There's no way you cut him and you lose money. He'll be on the roster next year, I guarantee it. He's more valuable as a backup, and not basically flushing $2.5 million down your toilet than bringing in some other guy. So he'll be on the roster next year. Whether or not he'll see any playing time, well, that just depends on injuries. 2020, he's still got $9.8 million dead in his contract. That contract, when I saw him sign that, when I saw the details of that, immediately saw that was a horrible structured contract.
Right.
There is not a chance that contract would ever get signed in Minnesota.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Just an absolutely horrid breakdown of the money in that contract. Even next year, they only save $6 million by cutting him in 2020. That's just an insane contract.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest mistakes here, and they're going to have to hope on some young offensive linemen to make up for that kind of a contract sitting in their books.
Well, you look at what that could have been, right? For a team that now has McCaffrey, an extremely dynamic running back.
Right.
You got Cam Newton. Maybe you get Cam Wetton. Maybe that's a Demaryius Thomas.
If you structure that properly and you structure it to where you can pick up $3 million next year if you cut him, that makes all the difference when you're trying to extend a guy. Even in 2020, if you structure that enough to where your 2020 dead money is only like $3 million instead of the $10 million it is, that's huge. Absolutely massive when you're looking at when is McCaffrey up? He's up after 2019, right?
Rookie year last year, I believe. So this is his second year, I think.
Oh, I thought he was out a couple years before that. Anyway, so just being able to front load all his contracts to make room for McCaffrey, because you know he's going to get signed after his rookie deal. You know that right now. His trajectory is just too high. Being able to save money now is incredibly important. That's how the Vikings are in the situation they're in. That's how the Vikings have structured themselves to where we have, like, I think, one of the top three dead money figures of the last 5 years. Because we've structured contracts properly to where we're not in this situation.
Yeah.
This is a horrible situation to be in. That's all
that is. And that 2 minutes was brought to you by...
Brought to you by Cap Math.
Yeah.
Yes. Just horrible contract, and you know what? I don't think he just loves football, so maybe he hangs it up after this contract.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe they discuss some sort of buyout, or I'm not really sure. But
you can't though, because a lot of that's signing bonus. He's already got that.
Right.
He can't do that.
So I guess lastly here, let's move to the Saints briefly. They're 8-1. They started out a little bit slower. I think their loss came early on. Yeah, they lost the first game of the year.
Tampa Bay blew them out
at home. Since then, they've obviously rattled off 8 straight, including a win over your Minnesota Vikings. Granted, as Vikings fans, if you are a Viking fan while you listen to this, you know that really was defined by
two
key turnovers, especially Thielen fumbling, around the 15 or what, a Saints 15.
Essentially ended up being a minimum 10-point swing.
Yeah, and then you have the Diggs miscommunication, which even, let's just say that doesn't happen and we punt, you still don't necessarily know they come right down the field and score there. So regardless, we've moved on from that, but certainly the Saints are playing well. They just threw up 51 on the road in Cincinnati. Drew Brees is playing. He's an MVP candidate with Mahomes. They just actually signed Dez Bryant, who
within the next day,
first practice, I think, maybe the second,
he tore his Achilles.
And
I think today signed Brandon Marshall.
Yes, brought in Brandon Marshall, someone that has experience, has been there. I think he's kind of turned into more of a team player. And it certainly, I think he was in Seattle before this, and it sounded like everyone really loved him in Seattle, but it just wasn't working out. He wasn't happy with necessarily the playing time.
He's an old vet. He's an older vet. He understands he's not going to be as dynamic as some of these younger kids are.
No.
And he understands that's not what they need of him. They need of him to be a consistent ball catcher. And,
smart.
And they need him to be smart with the ball. So when you're in that fourth quarter, 2 minutes left situation, they know they can trust him to get out of bounds, to make the correct decisions in those situations. That's what they're looking for him to be. I don't know if what that gains them in this later half of the season. I am always very wary of teams that start off this hot because very rarely does it carry over to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that there will be a regression there a little bit. Just touching on Marshall again, I think you nailed it, the guy that will go out of bounds. And for me, it's more the guy that if it's 3rd and 7 in a playoff game in the fourth quarter, he's going to get you, he's running the 8-yard route.
Right.
He's not running the 5-yard route and then trying to reach the ball. He's sure as hell going to get
he's
you.
He's
going
to get you to the sticks.
And we see that all the time. We see these younger receivers and sometimes even the veteran receivers that if it's 3rd and 5, don't run a 4-yard route. Get that additional.
Yep.
So I think he's brought in.
Just this little situation.
I think he's brought in from that. I think that the Saints will probably lose a game or two here or there. It's just rare to see these 15-1 records anymore. It seems like.
Well, heck, even 12-4 is hard to get in this league. So.
But Breeze is playing out of his mind. We're in the day and age where if you're not playing for anything, they tend to rest guys, towards the end of the season. So right now, you do have a 9-win Rams team. You do have an 8-win Saints team. So,
yeah, and that's going to be one thing that's going to make it interesting because the Rams' loss is to New Orleans.
Yeah, so it's
As long as they match record, they get the seed above them.
Yeah, but I mean, New Orleans, we knew was going to be a threat this year. They felt that they should have won the game last year. That Stephon Diggs, Minneapolis Miracle. 61 yards, you've heard it at the beginning of the show. They felt that they should have won that football game. And they really felt coming in this year that they were going to be an improved football team. The defense has taken a little bit of a step back this year.
Yeah, that's what I'm surprised there.
Defense hasn't been quite as good. So.
It's significantly worse, I would say. Not just not quite as good, significantly worse. Which is a regression I wouldn't have expected based on how stout they were last year. Kind of like a Jacksonville thing. Based on how stout they were the year prior, you wouldn't expect this kind of regression. It just seems like they hit everything. They hit all the cylinders. They hit all the perfect cacophony of events in the last year. And now all of a sudden, if it's not one player making a mistake on this play, it's another one. And it just all seems to kind of stack on each other.
Yeah, and I think they've managed to come out on the right side of a lot of close football games this year. Looking back at their schedule, they edge out the Browns. They edge out the Falcons in overtime. They beat the Ravens by 1 on a Justin Tucker missed extra point that I believe that was the game that would have sent that into overtime, if I recall. And then, you had the Vikings. They win by 10, but it's a game that probably should have been closer than that from a score standpoint or was closer than that, So, they've got a few games here coming up. They've got the Eagles, a team that really is their season on the line. You've got the Falcons, another team that might be season on the line. Cowboys, season on the line. And then you end with, at Carolina, the Steelers in Carolina. So they've got a little ways to go here. Now, obviously, I think they're going to comfortably make the playoffs. They're probably going to be one of those top 2 seeds, I think.
But it's going to be a tough road for them.
Yeah, I think you're going to see them falter a little bit. And I think I've mentioned it on the Vikings podcast. I really do feel that this Minnesota Viking team is going to go to the Superdome, and that is going to be a matchup we are going to see this year. So look forward to that. But
revenge game.
Saints 8-1 certainly look like they're in the driver's seat in the South because Carolina, I think, a little bit too many injuries right now. And I don't know. Obviously, though, Carolina essentially is in control. Well, they are in full control of the South because they do play them twice. Carolina wins out. They win the
last
the South.
Last 3 weeks will decide that division, I think. That's enough about the South. Let's move on to another fun division here. At least fun for one team.
Yeah.
NFC West.
Well, you never know. You got 2, maybe.
Maybe. Rams, 9-1. Seattle, 4-5. Arizona and San Francisco, both 2-7. All right. Here's a fun fact here. Seattle loses next week, and Rams win. The Rams win that division. Okay? They clinch in week 11, Mike.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not
you
wrong.
You want to talk about a bad division that they're benefiting from? NFC West.
I'm not going to disagree with anything you said. I think certainly you need to mention injuries to McKinnon, injuries to Garoppolo made a San Francisco team a lot of people felt was going to be a 6-7-8, maybe even 9-win.
We both had these guys, San Francisco pegged as very competitive.
Right, yeah, and you lose them, that hurts. Arizona is worse than I thought, significantly worse than you thought.
Yeah, I thought they were going to go NFC Championship game, which I suppose technically is still possible, but it's not going to happen.
No. And then you've got Seattle, a team that I had actually, I think, sneaking in as the last wild card. I have Russell Wilson winning the MVP. He is having a decent year. He's got 21 TDs, 5 picks, passer rating of 110.2, trying to will them there. And that was kind of my whole spiel. If he wills them there, it's going to be. But obviously, when you look at Mahomes and Breeze doing the things that they're doing, Seattle, there's not really a chance at that. But I think they still do have a chance to sneak into the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. Seattle to me is kind of like a cockroach. Like, no matter what happens to them, they just never go away.
Agreed.
It's insane. Like, they have a massively good coaching tree there. Because any other team, to take the losses that they've taken in personnel over the last few years and to still be competitive at this point in the season, that's just amazing. They came within, what, 6 points of beating the Rams this week? They came within 2 points
of winning. Yeah,
2 points of winning them. I think the first time they played them. That's just insanity to me. I think they'll make it interesting, but I could also see where they lose the next couple, and they're completely out of the conversation.
Well, and they've been another team that's been decimated. You know, they've lost Cam Chancellor. They've lost Earl Thomas. They've lost some key pieces to that secondary. Obviously, we know Sherman went to San Francisco this offseason. So it's a little bit of a new-look team, and then also a little bit of an injured team. So I don't know. I'm not going to predict whether they're going to get there or not, but all I know is I still love Wilson. You know, he's my guy. So we'll see. Rams 9-1. They looked unbeatable through probably the first 8 weeks for the most part. Mm-hmm. I guess unbeatable might be strong, but they look like a really good football team.
Just lost Cooper Kupp to ACL.
Yes, which will be that's a big deal for them.
Like you said, it's the same thing as the Kansas City. You have 4 or 5 weapons. Take one away, and we'll just hit you with another one.
Yeah.
Now you lose one of those options. Now how do you adapt to that? How do you change what you're doing?
A dynamic receiver for them that was good for 6-7 catches a game. It definitely hit the end zone quite a bit.
Good for like 3 touchdowns against Anthony Barr.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's a big loss for them. Marcus Peters has really struggled. That's become more of a national story here lately. And I think Michael Thomas went for like 45 fantasy points against them 2 weeks ago.
I tell you what, that Trey Wayne's over Peters doesn't look so bad now, does it?
Certainly the Rams appear like they're going to win that division, and you know, they're a very good football team. Todd Gurley is unreal. I think I saw he scored a touchdown in something like 13 straight games, so he's on fire. And
I think Gurley at one point had more touchdowns than the Bills' entire team.
Makes sense. Imagine if we would have played them strongly.
Yeah, I mean, would that be something? It'd be a whole different conversation here. But yeah, I'm right there with you. The Rams are not going to lose the West. I would bet $100 million that the Rams will not lose the NFC West this year.
Right, yeah. I mean, maybe that'd be fine if someone bets $100 million. We don't have to preface that with anything.
No, you're going to win that bet.
Yeah.
Guarantee you.
You probably net like $1 million in that situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If that.
Right.
Like I said, they win, Seattle loses, they take the division. They win the next two, they take the division. They could legitimately clinch by next week, or, you know, it's not going to be hard for them.
Right.
They're going to get that division. They're probably going to take number one seed. It's going to be fun to watch that breakdown. I don't know. That whole division I thought was going to be a lot more competitive than it is.
Yeah, maybe next year.
It's always next year, Mike. Bringing it home, Mike. NFC North.
The North.
Are you ready?
Defend the North.
Defend the North, baby. All right. Right now, we got technically Chicago ahead 6-3.
Yep.
Minnesota 5-3-1. Detroit 3-6. And Green Bay, who should be last, are 4-4-1.
We do.
So,
I think
who's winning this?
Well, I mean, I'm going to pick the Vikings to win it.
Of course.
I think I'm not going to stray from that. Even at 5-3-1 right now, that when we look at this record, I think that loss to Buffalo is really the outlier here. This team at 6-2-1 is very comfortable. We're probably even talking about them still a chance for one of the top two seeds at that point. Unfortunately, that Buffalo loss, big issue. And I still think we're okay in the North. We still have two games against Chicago. We still play Green Bay. We still have Detroit. Detroit is dead, as we'll get to momentarily. That's my only comment I think I wrote down for the Lions. But
yep, legitimately, this is what the comment reads. Dead. The Lions are dead. I initially put in the Detroit, did Detroit things.
Right, yeah. So I think that when you look at this division as a whole, the Lions, done. They trade Golden Tate away. We come in, we get 10 sacks. Then they come out, Chicago jumps up 19-0. It just, I don't know. They're kind of like a Denver situation. We touched on that really early here when we did the recap of the Vikes to start this.
Sure.
I just don't know where they're going, what they're doing there, but I don't look to them for them to be competitive in too many games the rest of the way. So,
which is that because they ended up winning against Patriots.
Yeah, week three, something like that. They did. Yeah, you know, I don't know. It was weird, but then all of a sudden it's like they just made a decision that we're not going to be competitive this year. Because why would you, I don't know, they get rid of Golden Tate and whatnot. I don't know. Kind of a weird move, I thought it was. And
maybe part of their longer-term plans, I don't know.
Yeah, they're dead. So then if we continue to work our way up from the bottom here, you've got Green Bay at 4-4-1. They have two very, very big football games coming up their next 2 weeks. Okay, they play on Thursday night here in a few days at Seattle, a team we just mentioned is going to be basically playing for its life at 4-5. Seattle's a very difficult place to win. These teams have history, and that's going to be a really hard-fought football game. After that, they got to come to Minnesota.
Historic US Bank
on, you know, kind of the Thanksgiving weekend, Sunday Night Football. Again, big battle, big rivalry. Two really big football games that I think are going to define Green Bay's season. They've been banged up with injuries. They really have. The young rookies, certainly Jair Alexander, has been unbelievable. Defensive Rookie of the Year, I think, possible. You know, he's just been playing lights out. But they've been banged up. They've had injuries to the receiving core. They had suspension. They've had all sorts of things kind of moving in. Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy rift, you know, that we've been hearing rumors of that. And so I just don't I think that they're gonna chalk this up to a lost year at the end of these next 2 weeks. I don't think they're gonna get through them and be in a good situation. When you're gonna be looking overall at the NFC, you've got Carolina at 6-3. That tie, I think, is really what's going to end up burning them at the end, because I think they're going to end up with six losses and a tie, and I don't like it for them. I mean, I love it for them because I hate Green Bay, but
if you're a Green Bay fan, that doesn't get you there.
No, it's just a weird year for them, and I think that when you look at the Vikings, we seem to be trending upward, as we'll get to next. They're starting to play good football. That defense is starting to come around. And Green Bay is starting to concern me more. Now you're going, I don't know that they're going in the right direction. And I don't know, where are you at with the Packers?
Well, I mean, to me, the general long arc is Aaron Rodgers has one ring, and there's no possible way that you can tell me that is justice to what Aaron Rodgers is capable of. And I hate the guy as much as anyone because he plays in my division. I have to see him twice a year.
Right.
But to say that he's only got one ring means criminal mismanagement of the team around him. And I think you're seeing some of those cracks start to form right now. Now, the question is, Mike McCarthy coaching Green Bay next year?
I don't know. I hope so, personally. But
so do I. But if you're a Green Bay fan, are you necessarily hoping for that? Are you hoping for maybe get some fresh blood, get some fresh eyes here, someone that can maybe make use of the tail end, honestly, of Rodgers' career?
I think that Green Bay fans, from what I've heard, are happy with the new kind of the management changes that took place before this season. Obviously, moving Dom Capers out, and it seems like they're happy with those changes. It was enough to kind of wet the palate, if you will, but man, you keep hearing about this McCarthy-Rodgers, and even though they've been together forever, again, you said it, they got one Super Bowl. and the Vikings are up and coming. The Bears are up and coming. You've got the Rams that are, I would say, still up and coming. You've got some really talented teams in the NFC, and that's not even counting the Saints or possibly Carolina or possibly, you know, Philadelphia, Atlanta. You've got all these teams that are probably going to reload and be back and be good. So I think at the end of the day, you need to look at this roster, know that you have one of the best quarterbacks to ever play, and determine right now, and I would go straight to the horse's mouth. I would go to Rodgers in some sort of a private meeting, and just, maybe it's got to be after the season, right? When the dust settles, say that they don't make the playoffs, give them a little bit of time to cool off, and you just flat out talk through it, and then you go with it. I think you got to go with it. You got to do what he wants to do.
Sure.
That's where I'm at. I would talk to him. I would go straight to him, get him involved in the decision, and I would do it.
You have all your money tied up in him. You know he's capable of winning your games. Give him what he needs to succeed.
The only thing Green Bay kind of has going outside of these next two, if they can get through at 1-2, or sorry, 1-1, these next one, okay? That's going to put them at 5-5-1.
That means winning against Seattle, folks.
Yeah. But then they've got the Cardinals and Falcons at Lambeau back-to-back. Cardinals, not that good of a football team, although starting to show a little bit more signs of life since they moved Byron Leftwich in. David Johnson's been a little bit more active last week, had a really big week, so you never know. Then you've got Atlanta Falcons, a team that
could still be fighting at that
could
point.
Could still be fighting, but maybe not, you know. But those two at home. Then you got at Bears, at Jets. Now, at Bears obviously looks like it's a game. They're going to be hungry because they know they should have won week one.
Yep.
And there's no way in hell that game isn't going to mean something for Chicago. So that's going to be a really tough football game for them, I would think. But then at Jets, Lions at home to finish. So, again,
relatively easy.
So that's what I'm saying. If they can get through at 1-1, if they can beat Seattle on Thursday, I think that there's a chance that the schedule treats them nicely enough. Say they beat Seattle and they lose to the Vikings, they lose to the Bears, you know, then all of a sudden you're sitting at that 9-6-1, which is that good enough? You know, I don't know.
Kind of depends on what the rest breaks.
Right. Obviously. So, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at in Green Bay. Obviously, I never want to see 12 in the playoffs. I don't, you know, whether it's in the AFC or NFC. I don't want to see either one of those 12s, but
12s go home.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Or even the 12s from Seattle.
I'm hoping my guy Russell Wilson...
Because you don't want to see the 12s in Seattle either.
Yeah, can take care of business on Thursday night, and then how fun would it be for them to come here on Sunday night and us to, you know, put the proverbial nail in the coffin for Coach Mike, you know?
It'd be nice. Maybe he gets fired that next Monday.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be fun.
But then let's jump now. You want to go Chicago or Minnesota?
Let's go Chicago, and we'll finish with
that. So, I mean, Chicago, we're 6-3. Surprising. We both had them as upstart. We both liked them this year as a team that was going to be better than people thought.
Yep.
They're even better than we thought, I think, at this point, right?
Well, yeah, I think you look back at the season, and you look at the Khalil Mack trade, and I think that gives a huge boost to defense.
Yeah.
I mean, we already looked at this defense coming into this year as... You know, they're returning some good players. They were playing pretty decent defense last year. You add that, and that just adds so much to that defense that you have to account for. So I think they've benefited from that in some games. But in some games, they've had that just completely let down and Khalil Mack who
right.
kind of thing. So to me, I read this team as, like you said, it's an upstart. I don't think they have enough experience as a unit yet and as a team to really be able to close out this season. Right now they're 6-3. I don't think they close out with only one more loss. I don't see that. I think they're going to end up a 10-6, a 9-7 still. Because I just don't think they have the experience to win some of these tough games they're going to have coming up. They play the Vikings twice. Easily the Vikings could sweep that if you believe in our defense and what our offense is capable of. But also easily, if Chicago plays to what they're capable of, what we've seen them do this season, they should win those games too.
Yeah.
You can argue either side of it.
So, I mean, first the praise. They've got three losses by a total combined total of 11 points. They're playing some good football this year. Those losses are at Green Bay, at Miami, and hosting New England. So, you know, those are all decent football teams this year. I think you've got Miami at 5-5. You've got Green Bay at 4-4-1. You've got the Patriots at 7-3. So certainly, you know, no slouches on those losses. But then I go back and I look at the wins. Seattle, Arizona, Tampa Bay, the Jets, the Bills, the Lions. Not the greatest of teams. Now, this is the NFL. I'm never going to discount a win.
Right.
We know. We know Buffalo came in here.
Right.
Took care of business. So, very good football team, but I think you nailed it. They've got the Vikings twice. They've got Green Bay again. They've got the Rams. You know, they've got some difficult football to play.
Some big tests coming up.
And I want to see how some of these younger, inexperienced guys hold up, because you've got Trubisky, you've got Howard and Cohen, and a lot of this is a younger, newer team. You've got a first-year head coach there. So, you know, I really want to see how they hold up, and history tells me that it probably won't hold up to the level it is right now.
Sure.
And so I think when you look at Mike Zimmer and the experience and the veteran leadership that this Viking team has, I think that that's going to really be the difference maker, and that they're going to come through. Even if we end up pushing, you know, going 1-1 there, I just think that over the course of the remaining games here, the season, Vikings are going to end up coming out on top. I do think the Bears make the playoffs. I think at this point, 6-3, I've seen enough. I think they're going to be a playoff team.
I would agree with that. What I think right now, what's going to happen is we're going to end up flipping spots. Minnesota, I still think, is going to win the North, like you said. But yeah, I think that Chicago at 6-3 right now, they would have to completely crater to not make the playoffs at this point, based on the ball they're playing.
But, I mean, you also, they got us twice, Green Bay, and the Rams.
If they lose all those,
you lose all four of those games, 9-7. In Green Bay, in a scenario we just talked about, going 9-6-1 can leak. So, you know, that's, I think that a lot of people are kind of overhyping Chicago right now, and this is really going to be the grind. I want to see what they're able to do. We're going to get to it. It's a different show, but I think you might see the true Chicago on Sunday night, and maybe true Chicago might be a little bit blunt, because I do think they're a good football team, but I want to see how they come out against a very hungry, rested Minnesota team that's had right. 2 weeks to prep for him, 2 weeks to prep for Trubisky. You know, and we've got now a little bit more of a high-flying offense.
The defense is getting some mojo going.
Primetime game. I want to see how they come out.
You got Everson Griffin coming off of a couple games knocking off the rust.
Put it this way. If we were flipped, if we were in Chicago right now, we're doing that. We're the Bears guys, you know. This would be, I'd be saying, this is a show-me game Sunday night.
Yep, this is a test.
You're 6-3, you think you're legit, show me that you are, and go out and beat this Viking team, or at least play them in a really close game.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's like we said with the Rams coming off of the Buffalo game. It wasn't important for us to win that game. Obviously, it still was, but for Vikings fans, it wasn't important to necessarily win that game. It was important to show competition in that game,
right,
which we did, 38-31. We were competitive every step of that game.
Yeah,
that's what you wanted to see in a game where you got kicked in the mouth. And now, kind of reverse here, you're flying high. You never want to listen to too much praise. You never want to listen to too much insults, right? You want to stay even keel. So, have they been reading too many of their own headlines, or you know, are they going to show up and be like, okay, no, we know we're good. We know we might not be as good as 6-3 goes based on the opponents we played, but what are you made of? And that's kind of what the Vikings are going to be here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
What are we made of this season?
Yep.
Are we meant to be there, or are we not?
Yeah.
That's going to be defined in the next couple weeks for, I think, both these teams.
Yeah. And I mean, basically now, I mean, if you move to Minnesota briefly, I think that you're coming off a bye. You're starting to get healthy, we hope. You have three of your next four are prime time, and the one that isn't is New England
at the middle window.
So. And that's a game that cannot be flexed, just for those Vikings fans that are listening.
Why is it that can't be flexed?
Fox has it protected that week.
Okay.
So each week there's a couple games typically that are, you know, CBS or Fox that can't be flexed. That happens to be one of them.
Which makes sense, because that's still kind of a primetime slot. They were probably banking on that slot for quite a while.
So, most likely, you're probably going to see just these three. There is a chance that, obviously, if Week 17 is for the division or for something significant.
But, well, there is no Sunday Night Football for Week 17. I think Week 17, they're all done.
Oh, yeah, they're all noon. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not... These are going to be probably your
they probably aren't going to flex Miami.
No.
The only thing I could see maybe is Detroit, but even then Detroit's I wouldn't dead. See it.
We already covered that.
But so, yeah, again, same thing here. This is a big test of the season right here, these next four games for the Vikings.
Yeah, next four. I mean, this is...
Just before we even get there, the Minnesota record, 5-3-1. I want to point out those three losses, all right? One, inexplicable to the Buffalo. Now, again, like I said, it's not an excuse, but it could be somewhat of an explanation. That was happening right around the Everson Griffin story.
Yes.
You don't know what kind of an emotional aspect that plays. You know, you hope these guys are able to get through that, but they're still human. So you could have played some kind of a factor, maybe got them a little bit flustered, and then by the time you actually got back on track, it was too late.
Right.
Whatever, we're not going to touch that one. That one, throwaway loss, all right? The other loss to the Saints, game we should have won. We played enough to win.
Game where you know what you did to lose the game.
Right, it wasn't like you didn't massively fall over in offense. We were moving the ball. You didn't massively fall over in defense, right? You were largely holding New Orleans in check.
And we were without a couple key pieces that game.
Right, absolutely. So I don't see that loss as being bad. And then the other loss is to the Rams, all right, who we were lockstep in, and you get a couple calls that go a different way, maybe that game is completely different.
Yeah.
You lose that game by 7, you lose New Orleans by 6.
10.
Or 10, sorry. I mean, those two losses do not look bad on the ledger. And then the tie is against Green Bay, where you miss 3 field goals.
Yeah.
I mean, you try not to do that, you know, to explain, this is why our record is this. You try not to make excuses, but as a 5-3-1 team goes, those are not bad losses and ties to be on your record. That's what you want to be if you're going to have losses. You want them to be competitive games to teams that are right now tracking to be 1-2.
Yeah, and I think that's why I told you that, other than that Buffalo game, I think if we were looking at this and we were 6-2-1, I would feel comfortable, because certainly the Green Bay game, a game we probably should have won. And then, yeah, you move on. You know what happened in the New Orleans game, the Rams game, whether we should have won them or not. At least you know, hey, you had an ability to be in those football
games. You were competitive.
Games. Yeah.
You were step for step. Yep.
Yep. So, I mean, but you nailed it. The next three games, at Chicago, Green Bay, New England, sorry, next four, at Seattle. I mean, that's a gauntlet. I mean, there are teams that would go 0-4 in
it's,
those games.
It's Chicago in November. That is going to be a tough game. So, no matter what way you swing it, no matter what Chicago shows up, that will be a difficult game.
Yep, and then, you know, Green Bay, it's always a war. At New England, a team that I'm actually excited for that game. I think we match up relatively well against them defensively.
Against New England?
Yeah.
Again, outdoor game.
Right, and then late Brady's November. Only lost, whatever it is, like 15 games ever there or something
about
like
to be
that.
16.
And then obviously at Seattle, you know, historically one of the most difficult places to play in the NFL. So there's a chance that they'll be dead officially by then, which I guess
you might help
secretly
us, but
hope for. But either way, this is a gauntlet. It's 3-4 on the road, 3-4 in prime time. It's going to be a battle here for the Vikings, and you're really going to see what they're made of. But I think right now they're trending up. The defense is trending up. We're coming off a bye. We're getting healthy. Divisional. Let's focus here. Obviously, Chicago right now. I can't be more excited for Sunday night. If we can get through these four, even if you get through them at 3-1, then you look at those last three.
Miami at home, go to Detroit, and then Chicago at home.
You know that.
That's not a bad sled to end the season.
Right.
So let's project that out. Say we lose one of those next four. We win the final three games of the season.
Okay.
All right. That's finishing up 6-1 on our schedule. Right, 6-1 on our schedule, yes. So that's 11-4-1. Which with the tie, 11-4-1 essentially beats any 11 team. So that's essentially as good as 12-4. That's got to get you at least number 3 seed.
Right. And I think the 3 seed is kind of where you shoot for here. Obviously... Yeah, you'd love to be a 2 or 1, and you don't know what can happen. It's the NFL, crazy things
can
happen.
Yeah, at this point, it feels like those teams are kind of a little bit out of reach at this point.
I think we lose 2 of those games.
Devil's advocate, you lose 2 of those games.
So right. Let's say you go 5-2. I think
10-5-1?
10-5-1 is
as
still
good as 11-5?
Probably good enough to sneak in that 3 seed.
That'll get you a home playoff game.
And that's kind of where I'm looking at. And I know you don't want to go in, and you're planning to win all of them. But
absolutely. But just worst case scenario, if that happens, you know what?
I think the biggest thing is these next two. These two divisional games.
Absolutely.
If you can take care of Chicago, and then you can basically probably eliminate Green Bay at that point, you know, that's where I want to be. I'm looking to get 2-0, and then we'll worry about the final five is kind of where I'm at. But, yeah, I mean, as an all-around, I think the Vikings are really in control. Well, the Vikings are in control of the North. We play Chicago twice. So Minnesota has control of the North. It's in their hands. And I would look for them to defend the North and win the division.
Same here. Like you said, we are in control. It all goes through us still.
Yeah.
We're still the reigning champs.
Sunday is the litmus. I mean, the litmus test. That's the big. It, obviously, if you come out and you lose by 7-10 points to Chicago, we're going to be having a different podcast going into the Green Bay game. But, you know, if you can come out and win that football game,
no matter how it happens, I don't care if it's by one or if it's by 20. Get the W. Divisional game wins are difficult.
Yep. Yeah. So, well, I guess last. I mean, you want to kind of project out the two wild cards. Is that what you for each side?
Quick. Yeah. You want to pick out what's for each AFC and NFC. What's going to pick out? Who we think's going to end up?
So winning divisions. So for me. For me right now, I'm just going to stick across the board. I think, and normally this, I don't think that this would happen, but I'm going to stick with the division winners across. I think they're all going to hang on. So New England, Pittsburgh, Houston, Kansas City, Washington. Oh, sorry. I'll take Minnesota over Chicago. But then New Orleans and the Rams. So 7 of the 8 division winners, I'll take Minnesota to flip with Chicago. But I'm still going to take Chicago as a wild card. And, God, you know what? I got to, as much as it hurts me not to stick with my Seattle, I'm going to flip it over to Carolina just because they got the 6-3 record right now. I think Chicago and Carolina are the two wild cards in the NFC. And then when you go over the AFC, I got the Chargers. Man, I'm gonna go with the Titans. I think they're just going to stay in enough football games to get in.
All right. That's pretty good. Pretty good picks there. All right. AFC, I think I'm the same as you. Who's leading right now? I think is going to end up taking it. I'm going to actually go Baltimore, and the Chargers are going to get the wild cards there.
Lamar Jackson led, or is it Flacco led?
I think Flacco goes down for a couple weeks, and Lamar Jackson comes in, lights it up, and they ride the hot hand. They keep Flacco in reserve in case something happens. And I think he does just enough to beat out the Tennessees, the Cincinnatis, the Miamis in that last wild card. NFC side. Yeah, I don't see Washington losing control of that. I don't see the Rams losing control of that, definitely. New Orleans, I don't see losing control. So we're the same divisional winners there. Minnesota flipping with Chicago. You know what? And then I see Chicago and Green Bay.
North's going to send 3. You're going to take 3 from the North.
North's going to send 3. I think Carolina gets a couple injury bugs here and they start to fall down a bit.
All right.
That's what I got, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I think... Green Bay and Seattle are the obvious other two that seem like they would have a chance, but you know, I can't fault you for saying Green Bay. Now, the only thing, if I had to find some sort of flaw in the logic, there would be, there's so many games, we play Chicago twice, we play Green Bay plays Chicago, like those are all most likely some losses adding up there, so that's why I would just, that's kind of why
you're
I went Carolina.
You're getting too deep in it, Mike.
Well, I don't know.
Because Carolina's also got 2 against New Orleans. So.
True, but New Orleans might not be playing for anything.
They'll still be playing for something, Mike. Well, they have the tiebreaker on LAR. Unless something completely goes off the wheels with one of the two, they'll still be playing for something, I think, week 17.
All right.
I think week 17 will decide number one, number two seed.
All right. Honestly. All right. Heard it here first.
First and probably last.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that wraps it up for the State of the Union here.
Yeah. Should be fun. We've got, what, 6-7 weeks left? Something like that?
Yeah, there's a couple tight divisions that are going to make it interesting. South, Indy could make a run. Tennessee could make that interesting. They're only one game back from Houston, man.
I think the South is definitely the most intriguing.
Yeah.
And then along, obviously, with the North. And
yeah, the NFC North, yep.
Those two divisions, you know, you can argue Detroit is dead for the 10th time on this show.
But you can also argue that Jacksonville is
dead. But let's say that Jacksonville all of a sudden runs off four games, and I don't know their schedule, but maybe they beat a couple of those teams in the South. You know, you never know. But
you never know, but the hole is big.
Yeah.
Same with Detroit. The hole is big. They could do it. The hole is too big for them right now at this point.
Certainly, it's the North is going to be fun. We'll see. I hope it's not fun for the other teams. I hope it's just fun for us.
Like I said, man, just that defense got to continue to roll. They've been playing well. We'll talk more about that, you know, next podcast, talking about Chicago. It's looking like a very, very nice second half of the season here. Should be some very interesting games. Three primetime games in a row here. So just enjoy it, Vikings fans. Just enjoy it. You're about to see our guys on the national stage pretty much essentially four weeks of the next 4 weeks here. So enjoy it. I know you like the noon games because, you know, you get the game over, then you get to kind of decompress if you lose. At least for me, whenever you play a Sunday night game or Monday night game, and you got to go to bed if you lose. It's like, it sucks. It just... kind of angry. You hope you had a couple hours to kind of blow it off, but
right,
yeah, it is what it is, guys. It's some fun football coming up here.
Yeah,
some very fun games, and make sure you tune in to that LA Rams Kansas City game.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a burner.
Yeah, take the over.
Oh yeah, take the over again. Scolders Podcast is not responsible for any betting wagers that you make on the over or under on the Kansas City LA R games. So. any final thoughts here?
No, I don't think so. I think that should do it.
We'll wrap it up for us here. Scolders Podcast. Scolders.com. I'm at Namok7 on Twitter.
Muskie_Mike.
That's where we're at. Part of the Climbing the Pocket Network. Check their stuff out. They got plenty of good stuff over there. That's going to do it for us, and we'll catch you next time. We're talking about Chicago.
All right. Skull.
Skull.